This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey everybody, Jason Cutter here. Welcome to another special guest series here on the Authentic Persuasion Show. I am very excited, as always, for this season to be speaking with professional sales educators. You know it's my mission to help fill the world with authentic persuaders. That's why I do this show. That's why I want to bring such great guests to all of you watching this or listening to it on the podcast, so that this can help you see how sales can be done in a different way and make yourself more effective. So for today's, I guess it's start one. It's part one of our series for this week. Is I have Dr. Dennis DePasquale on the podcast. So he is from the University of Florida's Warrington College of Business Sales Program. He goes by Dr. D. I think I even got his last name. I try to be fancy and it doesn't always work with me. So Dr. D, as his students call him, he is a sales professor at University of Florida. He teaches advanced sales and sales management. He's also a public speaker. He delivers talks on successful mindset through topics such as failure, emotional intelligence, locus of control. He's working on a podcast. He's working on a training course. He's working on all kinds of things. He's coming from his very awesome studio. So he's got himself a nice professional setup outside of the university classroom that he's in. Dr. D, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Thank you very much, Jason. It's great to be here.
I love having people on the show that have like the professional setup and ready to go and just know like, hey, let's just jump into this. Talking about this for the first episode, which is about authenticity, let's go back because I think it's always important where you started in sales, when you started in sales, and what was sales like, or what were you told sales was like when you began?
So it's funny, the very first time I got into teaching sales, I never actually thought of myself as someone who would want to teach sales. I was teaching a marketing class. I was full-time adjunct, which means you get re-upped every semester or every year, depending on your program. While I was still working on my PhD, and the department chair came to me and said, we need you to teach a sales class because our sales professor is retiring. And I looked at him and I said, I've never been a salesperson. He looked at me like I was an idiot, because I was, sometimes still am. And he said, well, you had a business for 10 years, so you had to have sold something. And so I had this realization, not only when he said that, but as I looked back on my history, that I had done quite a bit of sales, but not only that, but procurement. So in my time in IT, there's some expensive purchases that are made. So you understand sales from a different side of things in that vein. I had done door-to-door fundraising for a nonprofit organization. So you take that, you take what I did with the business, and I realized I did have a rich background in sales. And as Daniel Pink would say, regardless, to sell is human, and a lot of what we do in life is sales, even if we don't realize it. Unfortunately, it does have that stigma that gets a lot of people.
Okay, so you start in sales, in running a business that's focused on IT, but you don't think of it as sales. You're just in business, and you're doing businessy things, right?
Yeah, I would know. Well, my former career was IT. I got tired of IT. I left IT and I started my own business. I rode the web design bridge from IT to communications as web design's function changed, and started my own consultancy. At first, it was creative services, photography, graphic design, web design. And then I expanded it out after I got my master's degree. I did more strategy before I decided to go for my doctorate and land squarely in education, because I believe that if you really want to master something, you have to learn how to teach it. That's the only way you're going to truly understand something from all possible angles.
So, and then what you're saying about the, on the PhD side is that you didn't even realize you were in sales. Like you didn't think of yourself as a salesperson when you were.
No, I thought of myself as a business person, as a businessman. And that's really the crux of it, is you really can't do business without doing sales. And so you people put it out there as this separate discipline, but sales is business. Business is sales. That's why most C-suite executives have some sort of background in sales.
When you look at that, right, not even labeling yourself as a salesperson because you're a business person, what did you think sales was, or how did you approach it, considering you didn't think you were selling, right?
Right. So, obviously, when I was doing my business, I didn't think I was selling, but as I look back, I realized I was selling. And my approach was to really handle this and teach sales from every aspect of life, if I could, from the job hunt, you're selling yourself, from dating, you're selling yourself, you're handling objections, you're doing everything. And that's when I really started to understand what a basic human discipline the exchange of sales happens to be. It's just every now and then money happens to be involved with it. Realistically, and as I really dove into the discipline, it's about solving customer problems that just so happen to be your products and services.
Where did or does authenticity fit in? How did you approach that? How did you kind of build relationships and trust with people in those roles?
I mean, just like you build a relationship with your significant other, your spouse, your wife, your husband, just like you build relationships with your friends, you build relationships in the professional realm as well. And part of building that relationship is authenticity. You can't build an inauthentic relationship and have it last forever. That's the sand foundation, thinking back to church parable, I guess, that'll eventually just wash away. If you have a good, strong foundation where you're genuinely interested in the success of the person and then the person's company, of course, the person and the person's company are tied together. One of the things I talk about in the three sales is you're selling yourself, you're selling your company, and you're selling the products and services. But at the same time, there's receivers in that. There's the person's who's buying it. They have their own issues to work through. Then there's the company, and then there's the company's customers that are affected by a lot of this stuff, whether it's company efficiency or if they're the end user of the stuff that you happen to be serving. And so the authenticity comes in when you're building a genuine relationship with someone. Now, it's not going to be as deep as your significant other. It's not going to be as deep as your buddies that you go drinking with, but it's going to be deep in that you're invested in each other's success, such that your customer is going to want to use you as much as you want the customer to use you, because your businesses are basically tied together.
What did you think sales was, or what did you think of sales and salespeople prior to this examination of what you were doing versus what maybe you thought sales was?
Yeah. You know, I wasn't quite as bad as one might see in, say, Glengarry Glen Ross or Wolf of Wall Street. I didn't have that perception, but I did have this perception of the CPG guys going through. And if you've ever been to a supermarket and you see someone who has a vendor name card hanging off them, they're a salesperson. They're there making sure that it's not just a matter of stocking the shelves, but that's what I thought it was. They're actually there making sure the shelves are going to move all of the product, not just their own stuff, but the other stuff in that particular aisle. So that was one view of it. It was my view from when I worked in IT and when I was buying stuff in IT. You know, I did recognize those folks as salespersons, but at the same time, I also recognized them as integral to our business. And when they screwed up one of the sales, and it wasn't something where it was something where purchasing the enemy of anyone, got a hold of it and decided to go with another vendor because he didn't write the bid up properly, it actually affected our ability to do work. And so, you know, I still understood that aspect of sales as someone who is quite integrated into what you happen to be doing.
So let's shift a little bit. So you go into academia, you mm-hmm. get your PhD, you're adjunct professor, and then moving forward, where do you take that intersection of the experience you had and what you thought sales was, and then what you realized you did to be successful, and then translating that for the students in your classes?
So a few things happened. The first is that as I was teaching this class, companies would approach me and they said, we would love to see a sales minor or a sales program or something at the university. And before I was pulled on permanently, I'm like, oh, what do I know here? This is my second semester in this college. But as the first semester concluded, or I should say the second semester I concluded, one of the things I recognized is the students who did well in my class didn't just do well in my class, but they built their own confidence up. So one of the unique features of my class is that you're actually selling. You're out there talking to businesses, trying to get them to buy sponsorships from local nonprofits. So a little bit of a servant aspect to what I do here. And by putting themselves out there, and of course, they needed their grades, so they had to do it. They had no choice but to do it. they start to see that even the students who thought that they would be a failure at it, you know, there's that little bit of growth that they see. So what I saw is that by teaching sales, I was teaching confidence. And that is what really drew me to it. And so taking you back to when the old department chair said to me, I would like you to teach the sales class. I know you want to teach this other class, but let's have you teach the sales class. Well, he came to me and he said, hey, yeah, an opening opened up so you could teach this class that you really wanted to teach. And I said, now I want to stick with this. And anytime they take me out of that, I kick and scream like a little baby, because this is my home. This is what I've come to love. And because, like I said, sales skills are human skills, it gives me that opportunity to really, truly have an effect on the students who come through that sales class.
What are you seeing as far as the students coming into this, the classes, and maybe a little background of what kind of students are coming in the class? Like, are they required as a part of another degree, or is this something they're opting to take? But what are they thinking of sales, and what are you having to do to kind of readjust their, you know, Wolf of Wall Street, maybe expectations, or maybe they just don't know?
Well, it's changed. They definitely had that negative view of sales when we started out with it, but our visibility has changed. Both the type of student that I get, other programmatic elements of what we do has changed as well. So when I started teaching this class, it was what I called a forced elective. So it was an elective class that they did not have to take, but there were no electives in our program. So they run, they jump into this class. They think it's an elective. They think it's going to be easy. It isn't. It's actually quite a challenging class, because they have to learn time management. They have to learn grit. They have to learn resilience, all these soft skills that college doesn't usually teach. That's what I'm delivering in this class. So what would happen, though, is I definitely would have a portion of the class that was pissed off. Like, why did I have to take this class? This sucks. It was hard work. And if there's no electives, you get a one. But then I would have quite a few converts who would stick around. And that is what allowed us to develop a lot of the co-curricular elements of our program. But if it's not the Pi Sigma Epsilon sales fraternity, or the Gator Slam program — SLAM stands for sales leadership and mentorship — that I run, which develops even more of those soft skills that students need no matter where they happen to be going. And of course, then the students that are not looking for the easy route, not looking for the safe route, they see the opportunity to convert work into money. Really, they say, well, sales is really where it's at. I get into it, what I get out of it. Well, that's great. Let me put everything into it, because otherwise they're just saying, oh, I'll get a salary or something like that. So over the past, since 2017, now it's 2023, over the past 6 years, we've been able to convert the image of sales from Wolf of Wall Street. A lot of students, by the time they get to my class, now they've got a much more positive view on the value of sales. So even if they don't want to go into sales themselves, they know that they're going to have to deal with that, because it's going to, if they're going to manage a brand, marketing major, or anything along those lines, they're going to have salespeople working for them. Or if they're going to retail management, which is a very lucrative element of what people are doing. It's not flipping burgers. You're usually running multi-million dollar businesses, and you have to manage those front end staff people. And if you treat them properly, if you think of them as salespeople, your customer service is going to go through the roof in a positive manner.
Do you see this totally different thought that I have? Do you see kind of the non-sales people going through your class, right? The people who aren't wanting to get into a sales role, but like you said, they may go into retail management, they might go into something else. Do you see them shifting kind of the tolerance for salespeople, or the expectation from their side? It's kind of like a top-down approach. And then there's also the actual salespeople that you're training, a bottom-up, like as far as changing the way sales is done, or what people tolerate.
So one of the things I would say that I'm proud about for those types of students is actually I would increase their intolerance of bad salespeople, because now they know what it is to be sold to properly, to be sold to ethically, to be treated like a valuable business partner, not as a commission check. And they have a more astute awareness of that as a result of that. So that changes. What I would say is those who are going into retail will start considering sales. So they may say, oh, I'm going to go into business. I'm going to go into marketing. I'm going to be a brand manager. Maybe I'll be a retail manager. Well, they realize most brand managers, a lot of companies want you to go through the sales function regardless, so you understand the customers. Can't understand the customers if you've never sold to them. And so they're like, okay, maybe retail, because again, it's safe. You get that check, but they'll still consider sales where in the past they may have not have considered sales. It all depends on what their initial check is. I have a student who they chose a stable check, even though they are quite capable of much more, but they saw it as a very comfortable stable check. I can't blame them, to be honest with you, when I consider the offer. But this student would have considered both sales or retail.
Well, and it makes sense too. I mean, the biggest thing that I've always seen is that somebody who's done the client facing role or done a different department leading up to what it is that they're doing or inverse is valuable, right? Like a customer service person that had usually a brief foray in the sales until they realize they don't want to be a salesperson, but at least they saw it, they understand it. Yeah. And then they get into the customer service side and then they understand the journey that it took for someone to get to them and probably the bad stuff that people did or didn't explain. And that's why there's customer service problems. But same thing with brand and marketing. Like if they've spent any time in sales, then it makes them a better communicator from a brand and marketing standpoint, right?
Right. And if you're going to manage a salesperson, it's good to understand what they have to go through. They have to hear a lot of no's. Best batting average is a 300. That's 30%. That's 70% no's. And so, especially with my class, with the way that I structure it, you know, at the very last day, I say to a lot of the students, I'm like, raise your hand if you don't want to go into sales after this experience. It's okay if you're saying yes. It's not going to hurt my feelings. What I've done is I've taught you how hard it can be. So if you're ever managing a sales force, whether you're 2-3 layers up because you're the CMO and there's a sales force underneath you, you understand what they have to go through and you're not going to put them through hell like the CEO of Wells Fargo. I don't know if you like it or not when we bring up specific brands and situations.
Sure. And it's so true, right? Because if somebody has only seen marketing and lived marketing and never seen sales or dealt with sales or touched the sales side, then sales, you know, usually there's this siloed effect and sales is this painful thing you have to deal with that just blames the leads. And, you know, same thing with sales, just, you know, blaming marketing. Like, you know, unless you understand and you're empathetic, then you can kind of bridge the gap and be able to help it succeed from a company and a customer standpoint, right? Which is what matters.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So what do you think gets in the way of salespeople in general with authenticity and, you know, let's say with the relationship building in a true, honest way, like what you're talking about?
You know, I'm spitballing on this one, but I'm going to say entitlement. So thinking that you're entitled to a certain close, you're entitled to someone's business. I did all the work. I said everything I was supposed to say. I positioned it right. I spent all my time. I took you out to lunch. I deserve your business. No. But I'm sure that there are salespeople out there that feel like that. I remember when I started out feeling like that. I did all the work. Why didn't I get the job? Well, apparently I didn't do all the work. And it's recognizing that if you didn't, something may have gone wrong. And it may not have been you. Someone just may have just been a little bit better than you at selling them on something.
Yeah. And where is that balance, which is a conversation for another topic, which is it may not have been you, but it also may have been you, right? Like where is it something that you might have missed? How did the students in your class embrace these topics, like the relationship building, the authenticity, like the human to human aspect, like you've mentioned several times?
I would say, so my mindset talks are usually some of the more positively perceived talks that I tend to give. When I talk about the value of locus of control, of owning what happens, of that emotional intelligence, of grit. You know, when I talk about these things, that really, really tends to get to the students and get them to feel better about the possibilities. And when we look at especially locus of control and grit, this is something students haven't really been taught. I hate to go generational on this. And one of the reasons is because I used to think like this as well, is I think that the world, not necessarily people's parents, but the world has taught people that hey, just do the work and it'll happen. And while that is one component, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy, and that doesn't mean it's going to be handed to you. And oftentimes what happens is when something goes wrong, they've been trained in some way, shape, or form to start blaming the outside. And again, I was just as vulnerable to this mindset issue as well. And so what has fascinated me, especially with locus of control, as I've gone through that, is this dawning of, you mean it was my fault? And that's a good thing, because when they say that, the next thing it means they say is, you mean things are in my control? I can do something to make my life better? Because they have a lot of anxiety because they're told everything is out of their control. And one of the areas where you can see that things are completely in your control is with a career in sales. And so that's where students start to see this value of sales and this value of doing that. And last semester, my lead TA actually approached me and he said, because of your class, I had several students say that they did better in their finance class because they finally realized that they can do something and it wasn't out of their control like they thought it was. And again, for something as what would have been thought of 20, 30, 40 years ago as mundane and blasé and cliche as sales, to have that transformational effect on students, that's something that, you know, unless you're in education, some of your viewers are probably thinking, yeah, sure, yeah, whatever, Dr. D. But it's truly rewarding to watch and see people realize that this sales is a way of really controlling your own life.
It's interesting because part of me, my first response when hearing you was, that's because you, Dr. D, are teaching this mindset locus of control segment of the course and helping people realize, right? Like it's the mindset class, which again, if maybe someone was in a finance class and then somebody, the professor was teaching a mindset locus of control, you know, session in the finance class or in the American history class. And here's like, my first reaction was, well, yeah, of course you're teaching that. That's why they're getting in, the light bulb's going on. And it's universal and it's human to human and it's their whole life and all that stuff. But I think that's not even fair, because a lot of other topics, you can't control that. Sure, you can control how hard you work in a finance class or in finance in life, but like how much can you control versus sales, which like you said, with the batting average, is like sports. Like you have to put in a lot of effort, a lot of practice, you have to be ready. And then when the moment comes, you've got to be able to do things right and then react. Mm-hmm. And that's going to determine your success. And so it's interesting. It's not just the mindset, but it's also the act of preparing to sell, that intersection will make people realize, wait a second, I can control things and control, like, you know, my actions, which will lead to the results I want.
Right. And getting back to the whole theme that you're looking at here, it's about genuinely being interested in whatever your mission happens to be. If you're of the mindset that, hey, the more people I con into buying my stuff, the more money I'm going to make. Well, what's going to happen is you're not going to get return visits, return customers as much as if you're genuinely interested in saying, how many people can I benefit their business, their bottom line, what they happen to be doing, you know, or, you know, if it's a B2C type finance job, how many people can I show them that they can have financial stability when they retire, that they can get that boat or whatever it happens to be. And that's the big thing when it comes to that authenticity that we started with, is it's not just everything I do, I'll get what I want, because, and it's almost cliche. And I know that 30, 40 years ago, it wasn't being talked about. but to have a genuine interest in the success of your customers through whatever you happen to be selling, which of course requires to have a business that has a good mission and vision as well. That is, I think, a big chunk of that authenticity, that say, I believe in this and I believe that this will be good for me. I'm going to sell it.
I love it. Final questions on this topic, but from the buyer side, which of course spans all things, but luckily you said what I would say, which is it is human to human. So it is semi-universal. What do you think they're looking for from a salesperson when it comes to this aspect, not just a sales process, but like this part here?
They don't want stress. They don't want complication. They just want to get their job done. right? And that's not me talking from experience. I mean, it is, but I'm also talking about the research. And the research shows that customers don't want complexity in what they're doing, and they don't want to be stressed out. Think about it. At the end of the day, you want to leave and realize that everything is working exactly as it's supposed to be working. Your customers are satisfied, and you have no problems.
Exactly. Well, and that's what's fun about what you do. And I know what I do, which is telling people, it's like, how are you when you're a customer? What do you want? Mm-hmm. People in sales roles then all of a sudden get in the sales mindset, or their company just tells them to sell their product, like you were talking about in the beginning, where it's just like, I think everyone should just want this, instead of being empathetic to how they are. And you, most of us as a customer, I don't want to be stressed. I don't want to be overwhelmed. I don't want it to be complicated. Mm-hmm. So I think that's great. I think that's it's so true for pretty much everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. So that wraps up this part one. Time absolutely flew. I cannot wait to get to the second part, which is going to be about persuasion and the sales process for people who want to connect with you. I know there's two big things. One is LinkedIn, where you're all over the place. And they can find you on there, Dr. Dennis D. Or just find you on there on LinkedIn and search for you. Also, your main website is drdennisd.com. Absolutely. Dr. D, thank you for being here on the show and sharing all this about authenticity.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the next session. Thank you, Jason.
And everyone else, I appreciate you tuning in, being a part of this journey. Hopefully you got some gems from what Dr. D said as we really have this conversation to be a part of the mission to change the world of sales from what feels like or traditionally seems like something gross and terrible or something people want to avoid as a career or even dealing with salespeople into an actual profession that people want the help from. So I appreciate you being here. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.